happy to see all 30 of you here on my list. Thank you, Mr. Vicar.
Every artist counts as two. I count as two. So we have at least two more than you expected.
Today's shiur is going to be a little bit unusual from what I usually plan to do, just because we missed two Wednesdays, and we missed next Wednesday also, and then Wednesday after that, right?
That's why they gave you the Wednesday
shiur. So I'm going to give it once a year. Then people really appreciate it and like it. So we're not going to have the shiur again until after Yom Kippur, right? So I wanted to, I didn't want to start all the different topics I wanted to do. In general, we're going to cover topics in Machshava, things like Emuna, Shkafa, classical topics. And the goal is going to be to cover it through the perspective of the Torahs. Wrong one, one second. Steal my marmakos? No, it's good. Today, I just want to, since we're coming up to Rosh Hashanah, I just want to speak a little bit about Rosh Hashanah. Again, this year is going to be a little bit unusual today. Nevertheless, I think a very important idea. The Ramban in his drasha on Rosh Hashanah, famous drasha, points out something interesting. The Mar Makomos, Mar Makom 1, V'nei tziva ha-kosov shenasa yom tov v'mikra kodesh v'yom hazeh v'lo pir shlama v'alma. On Rosh Hashanah, we're told, the pasuk tells us, we have to make a yontiv. But it explains to us what exactly is the purpose of the yontiv. Skipping down to the underlying part, Aval Bekan talks about all the chagim, the psukim tell us what the chagim are about. Pesach is about matzah, and chayrus, and things like that. Sukkah is about sukkah, b'chulei. So, but the pasuk tells us nothing about Rosh Hashanah. V'omer stam shenase b'yom zeh shabbaton. You gotta make a shabbaton. And then it's about shabbaton. V'zichron trua. V'omer od yom trua yehelachem. It's something about trua. So, we're supposed to make a holiday, but the pasuk doesn't tell us what exactly the holiday is about. So the question is, what's Rosh Hashanah all about? And I just want to begin with asking just a few kashyos. On one hand, there's a sense that we have that it's a Yom Hadin. And the Mar Makom 2, the Mishnah on Pirkei Avos, says, Ba'arba prokim ha'olam nidon. The world is judged during four times in the year. Pesach on Tavua, Teres al Teres ha'ilon. Rosh Hashanah kol boi olam ovrim lefanak b'maron. So Rosh Hashanah, all human beings are being judged. Question number one is, what exactly we're being judged on? When you go to a basement, you want to know what the case is. When you're a lawyer, you have to prepare for the case. So what exactly are we being judged on Rosh Hashanah? That's the first question. Number one. Number two, we have a sense we're being judged, and we have to do tshuva. And I don't know if you guys noticed, we have even some slichos, right? Sure. You guys noticed? I can tell by your eyes you've noticed. And al chet, and erev Rosh Hashanah, we go nuts. Chet, 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 slichos is like tripled. Incredible. Slichos of erev Rosh Hashanah, incredible. And after Rosh Hashanah, chet, 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 and Yom Kippur, chet, 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 right? And you know what's fascinating? Rosh Hashanah, I don't know if you ever noticed, we don't mention anything about chet. No ashamnu, or no bagadnu, or no gazam. And there's nothing. It's like amnesia. We forgot about chet. We like forgot for 2 days what this whole thing's all about. If it's a din, it's about tshuva. What happened to the chetz? And it's incredible. The post came right, Alpi Azor, that it's also to sell chetz, akidei kach. That they, according to some post came, we shouldn't say, avinu malkinu chatanu lufanecha. What kind of crazy thing is that? So, question number two, why don't mention chetz in Rosh Hashanah? Number three, the Gemara tells us, Mar Makom 3, Omar Rabba, Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Omar Ulufanai Barash Hashanah, Malchius Zichronos V'Shofros. See, the three primary parts of the Shemoneh Esrei, Malchius Zichronos V'Shofros. Malchius, why? Kedesh Adem L'Chuni Aleichem, you should crown me up for yourself. Zichronos Kedesh Yavol L'Fanav Zichronchem L'Tova, U'B'Mah V'Shofar. What the heck is that? These are the three primary parts on Rosh Hashanah of the Tefillah. What in the world are we trying to accomplish over here? And finally, this is, as people like to point out, the ultimate duality of Jewish holidays. Eat, 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 fast, fast, fast. Eat, 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 fast. Eat, fast. Eat, fast, right? We have this guilty, guilty, guilty. Eat, eat, eat. So it's an incredible thing. Look at this. The Shulchan Aruch says like this, Mar Makom 4. Ochlen v'shosim v'smeichim. V'ein mis'anim v'rosh Hashanah. Gotta go eat. Don't fast. V'lo b'shabbos shuvah. Amnam l'yochlo kol sabah. got to eat, enjoy, not too much. So you shouldn't lose your Shemai. The Psukim and Nechemiah say, V'yavi Ezra konas haTorah, lifnei hakol me'ish v'isha v'chol, meidin lishmo b'yom echad l'chodash ha'shvi. On Rosh Hashanah, Ezra got everyone together. He gave it to them. He gave such harsh Musar, and everyone's crying. He gave the Rabbi David Musar. And everyone's sobbing and crying, and says Ezra, guys, don't be sad. Go eat nice food. I give you all this mussar. Go enjoy your food. Very strange. The Mishnah Berurah writes on page 2, Maram Akum 6. Ochel neshosim v'usmeichim. Rot zolomar afshu yom hadin. It's a yom hadin. Mikol makom mitzvah shel v'samachta b'chagecha shayach gam bo. There's a mitzvah, samachta b'chagecha. Yom hadin. Scary. All these malachim are screaming. And don't worry, go eat. Enjoy. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Lachar tfilo marin trua gdola bolot kia. After we finish all the kiyos, you got to let out one blast of the shofar. You know why? Says the Mishnah Berurah. La'arbev as a satan. You got to mix up that satan, whatever that means. Shuli katra galehem achar tefillah, so you shouldn't say bad things about them after tefillah. Shuholchim v'ochlim v'shosim v'smeichim lomar she'enim yirim v'menem sadin. So someone says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you guys doing? It's din and they're having doggies. What kind of crazy thing is that? Of course, something's right. So what is this simcha business? So I have four questions. And number one, what's this judgment all about? Number one. Number two, why don't we mention any chayt? Number three, what's the whole thing about zichronos malchus and shofaros? Number four, what's the whole thing about simcha? Of course, simcha is absolutely out of place. So let's begin. Try to figure this out a little bit. This is stira in the Gemara. It's a very big stira. And the Rishonim picked up on that stira already. This is on page 2, Maram Akum 9. The Mishnah says, I already quoted this Mishnah before, that on Rosh Hashanah, human beings are judged. That's what the Mishnah says. But the Gemara follows up in Maram Akum 10 and says that this Mishnah, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Omer Rabba, Hai Tanan Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, he, the Tanan Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Barba Prokim Holom Nidon, Bepesach Ala Tvua, so on and so forth, the Adam Nidon Barosh Hashanah, V'gzar din shelo nechtam b'yom ha-kippurim. Says, so according to our Mishnah and Raisa, on Tes Zayin with Aleph, on Rosh Hashanah, everyone, kulam nidonim, okay? And on Yom Kippur, kulam nechtam. That's what comes out according to the Mishnah Brais. The problem is that the Gemara on the very next daf says something totally different. Look at Maram Akum 11. Amar Rav Pras Budai, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shlosha Sfarim Niftachim B'Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, three Sfarim are opened up. Echad Shol Rishoyim Gmurim, Ve'echad Shol Tzadikim Gmurim, Ve'echad Shol Beinonim. Three Sfarim open up. Tzadikim Gmurim Nechtav Ve'Nechtam El'Arat L'Chayim. Rishayim gemurim nechtavim nechtam ala acharamisa beinonim sluin ve'omdim b'rosh Hashanah v'ad yom ha-kippurim zochu nechtavim lechayim lo zochu nechtavim lemisa. So the Brisa on that is at this Tezayim base. Ma'ash on the next, he has a chiluk on Rosh Hashanah tzadikim and Rishayim are nechta. And on Yom Kippur sounds like Beinonim are nechta. That's a stira. Here in this Gemara it sounds like everyone is nechta on Rosh Hashanah, nechta, nechta on Yom Kippur. But over here on Rosh Hashanah Tzadikim and Rishayim are finished. And it sounds like Beinam are finishing Kippur. It's a stira. It's a stira. They point out the stira. Now, you know, it's very funny how it works sometimes. Sometimes you have this like little prat in halacha. It sounds so incredibly insignificant. But the moment you start digging, all of a sudden you have yisodos come out. There's a machlokis between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Magen Avraham. After you finish davening Rosh Hashanah, what do you tell your friend? What do you tell your friend? You shake his hand and you say what? Ksiv v'chasim atalam, right? Anyone does something different? So it's machlokas, the Ramah and the Magen Avraham, what you should do. It sounds like, what a stupid machlokas. What? Okay. Says the Ramah, you should say ksiv atalam. Ksiv atalam. And the Magen Avraham says you should say ksiv v'chasim atalam. Says the Gra, the Rama is vaday right. Do you know why? It's machlokas over here. And then once we understand the Gra, incredible yisodos and machshavah come out. And really a big yisod about Rosh Hashanah. Says the Gra like this. Says the Gra. You have a steer between these two gemaras, right? Do you know why? Because there are two dinim that are going on over here. These are two dinim. They're two completely different dinim. This din over here is for Olam Hazeh, and this din over here is for Olam Haba. For Olam Hazeh and for Olam Haba. Okay. So when we say Ksiva v'chasima tova, or Tikasev v'chayim tovim l'shalom, we're addressing Olam Hazeh. But you see, Chasima doesn't happen on Rosh Hashanah for Olam Hazeh. It happens on Yom Kippur. So you should say Ksiva Chasima Tova only on Yom Kippur. That's what the Gra says. You scratch your head and you say, why? A, you say why? And second thing, what you want to wonder about is that, this is the kasha already raised by the Rishonim, I understand why I should be judged for Olam Hazeh. Right? Because next year I'm hopeful I'll be alive, so therefore I should be judged in terms of what kind of Olam Hazeh I'm going to have. Why in the world should I be judged for Olam Haba?
Well, so what does that even mean?
Yeah, first of all, what does that mean? Well, let's say for a second it means what kind of Gan Eden you'll get, maybe what kind of Tchis and Esim you'll get. So what the Rishonim asked, why in the world should I be judged for Olam Haba right now? Hey, I have another 50 years to live. Why should a person every single year be judged for Olam Haba about what kind of real estate we're going to get in the above abode, if I have, Lachar should be judged when I die, right? So what is this Olam Haba business? That's a question that they ask.
So the Gra Paskins like who?
The Gra Paskins like the Ramah, that on Rosh Hashanah you should say Tikasev and not Tikasev. Why? Because he said, because when you're wishing him Tikasev, you're addressing Olam Hazeh, and that doesn't happen on Rosh Hashanah, it happens on Yom Kippur. You have a question?
Yeah, but we said that the only ceiling, say that for the family, the red button. So say that the Benoni is the only. We say that the Tzaddik and Rashi would say they're decided on Rosh Hashanah
for Olam Haba,
right? And what about Benoni? When is
Benoni in terms of Olam Haba?
On Rosh Hashanah, the Benoni is. Basically,
Chasima for everyone, in terms of Olam Hazeh, happens in Yom Kippur. Okay. Now, so what in the world is going on over here? So let's flesh it out a little bit more. Says, so, on page 4, this is Ramchal, Mamar Chol. When he talks about Sefer HaChaim, hey, this is very much related to us. Hine ha'adam nidon tchila al pi ma'asav. On Rosh Hashanah says the Ramchal, a person is judged al pi ma'asav, limanos, to be counted, but tzadikim or rishoyim. The din is, are you going to be with the tzadikim or with the rishoyim? V'zeh hanikra mamash sefer ha'chayim or sefer ha'meisim. Dehainu, hanikba ben tzadikim, are you going to be considered part of the tzadikim team? Hunechta b'sefer ha'chayim. Va'anitcha v'nikba ben ha'rishayim Hunechta b'sefer ha'meisim. Let me explain to you what I mean then. Now we're ready to deal with the issue straight on. First thing I have to just explain to you, very much in short, and obviously this point requires a lot more elaboration, Ramchal has a sefer Misil Shram, everybody knows about that, right? Misil Shram, we know about that, Baruch Hashem. Derech Hashem, okay, we know about that, maybe a little bit less, but we know about Derech Hashem. He also has a sefer which is a little bit less than called Daos Tumos. It's a very, very important sefer. It's a very hard sefer. It's really a sefer in Kabbalah, written in a language that's not Kabbalistic. Now, Ramchal in Daos Tumos makes an incredibly powerful point that I'd like to explain very much in short, and I'll try to give you a few examples that you can appreciate it just in terms of real life. Ramchal in Daos Tumos writes that God could have just created us and given us the prize, and we could just be living here and enjoying and living it up. But as we saw in Derech Hashem, and we saw it in Maseilas Yesharim, that wouldn't be good, because if I give you something, you don't have to earn it, you don't appreciate it. If you're given a portion, you never have to work for it. Work really hard for it, and you begin to appreciate it. So somehow man has to work for what he has, and then he really begins to appreciate it. Now, what kind of work are we supposed to do? So God could have had us do physical work. He could have had us do spiritual work. Says Ramchal, this is a big yisod, again, I can't explain it in full sense in such a short time. The yisod is like this. I want to ask you guys, have you ever read a book or seen a movie that, you know, you're reading the book, and it makes a certain amount of sense. You're watching a movie, make a certain amount of sense, but then comes the end, and you realize you never really chapped what was happening until the very end. And then you have to watch the movie again from the beginning. Or you got to read the book from the very beginning, only now you begin to understand. I'll give you an example. Count of Monte Cristo. Anyone read Count of Monte Cristo? So I'll tell you the kids who read Count of Monte Cristo. Is that it? Is that it? Yeah. What?
Sick movie.
Okay.
Also a book.
The book copied it from the movie. So, Rebosai, let me tell you about Count of Monte Cristo. Count of Monte Cristo is this very nice guy. He's a sweet guy. He's engaged to get married. He's a wealthy guy. Everything's fine and dandy until a whole bunch of people get together for whatever different reasons, and they knock him off. They send him off to prison. He's an innocent guy. They send him off to prison. Now, he's able to escape from prison, and he becomes a count. And the rest of the book, it's a story about how he does this, he does that, he does things. And now you read the book and you say, okay, it's interesting. It is a whole bunch of random things. In the last few pages of the book, he snaps his fingers, and everybody who had ever gotten him, he knocks off. And you say, oh, on page 23, he did this. Do you know why? To set up this guy. Oh, on page 57, he did this. It's to get that guy. You say, whoa. So amazing. We love this stuff. There's something inherent within human beings to like seeing something and realizing we never understood it and having to look at it again. And there is a mimer like that we have. Ein simcha pikachar sasfekas, right? The greatest joy is what? You don't know. You're trying to figure it out. If you can't figure it out, then eureka. The greatest joy that a human being can possibly have is to be stuck on something and then figure it out. You know why that is? Because that's the purpose of life, says Ramchal. We're playing this game. We don't know what's going on. This happened to us today. Tomorrow something else is going to happen. And then something else is going to happen. And then something else is going to happen. Do you know what says Rav Dessen? You know what my boy is? They're going to put you into a big movie theater. And you're going to watch your life. And you say, oh, I had that girlfriend over there. Do you know why God set me up like that? Because I had to learn something. And you know why I got this job? You know, went this issue. You know why I made this friend? Because God over here is like pulling strings. Because he wanted me to get somewhere. And you know why I met this Rebbe? And you know why I met this friend? You know what? I went to this university. You know why I went to this shir? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting everything up. And then you know what Olam HaBoy is the next stage? He watches your movie again. You watch your life. Oh. You got more connections and more connections. You watch it the third time and the fourth time, and every single time, greater connections, bigger connections. Says Ramchal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an agenda in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could knock off all evil. He could knock off all challenges. It's pusher to him. He doesn't do it because he wants us to earn it. He wants us to join his team. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. God controls everything, good and evil. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the year. controls evil. He can snap his fingers, there's no more evil. Evil does only what God allows it to do. He's in full control. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his goal is to be Megaleh his Malchus. His goal, the goal of creation, is for us to participate, to show that everything is under God's control. We'll speak about this a little later. What happens in Rosh Hashanah, says Ramchal, is that you choose what team you want to be on. Do you want to be on the team of Tzaddikim and help reveal God's Malchus in that way? Or do you want to be with the Rishonim and you want to reveal God's Malchus in that way? You see, everyone is Megaleh God's Malchus. Hitler does too. Everyone. You have no choice about that. Every human being will somehow reveal Kodesh Baruch Hu's Malchus. The question is what team you're going to be on. So when you come to the army, so Ben joins the Israeli army, right? And he decides he's going to drive a tank. Okay? That's his decision. That was a very hard decision. He decides to drive a tank. So now the Israeli army has to give him gear that will allow him to be in the tank. And say, Yoni decides to fly planes. Now, they'll never let Yoni fly planes. It's way too tall for an airplane. But let's say he decides to fly planes. So now, they're going to have to give him different attire. And when someone chooses a different task, they're going to get a different attire. Rabbi Chaim says, what does it mean that you are, on Rosh Hashanah, you put yourself in terms of whether you're going to be with Tzaddikim or Rishonim? On Rosh Hashanah, a person decides what task they're going to have in terms of helping out God this year. It can be a tzaddik, it can be a rosh. And based on that, Rabbi Osai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us kelim. And now this answers the grove very nicely. Blah doesn't mean what kind of real estate you're going to have in Olam Haba. That's not what it means. The point is, like Ramchal says, on Rosh Hashanah we decide what is going to be our goal, our task, our place this year. Are we going to be judged like tzaddikim? Are we going to try to be Makayim? We're going to try to be the pilots and the tank drivers, or we're going to be something else. That's the judgment on Olam Haba. Based on that, we're getting to the Kelim Olam Hazeh. And I'll tell you something. You know what? You know what's scary about this? I'll tell you something scary. It could be. The guy says, you know what? This year, I'm not going to be such a big tzaddik. And Hashem says, you know what? You've chosen your chelik. And that guy can get tremendous Olam Haba. And one guy can say, you know what? I'd like to be a tzaddik this year. And the Kelim that guy needs, maybe less Olam Hazeh. Because in order for him to do his job as a tzaddik, he shouldn't have a lot of Olam Hazeh. Based on what he wants and where his kovel, his place, he's given kelim Olam Hazeh. These are the two dinim, Rabbi said. On Rosh Hashanah, the focus is where are we holding in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Are we his partners? Are we going to try to help him out? Are we going to try to further his agenda to make this world a better place, a holier place, place where that's kinder? And once we make that decision, we're given Kelim Olam Hazeh. And if we make a different choice, you know what? We have other agendas. We're given other Kelim. Okay? And that's why, that answers the first question. What are we being judged on? We're being judged on where are we holding over here. Are we going to be treated, let's say that, there's two students. Let's say, Uri, I know he's such a great student. Such a great student. Right? And Billy Bob over here, he's a bad student. You know, when Billy Bob does something bad, you know what my reaction is? Whatever. He's a bad student. But when Uri does something bad, Uri, what are you doing? I'm going to punish Uri. You know why? Because Billy Bob, punishing will do nothing to him. Uri, I know that maybe if I talk to him and I get some consequences, Uri's going to become better. The question is, where are the guys holding? And the Olam Haba is going to determine as long as that. That's the deal. And that's why we're both sides. We don't see any Yanchetz. And what do we say? We say, Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. Malchus, we focus on Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll tell you something else, and this is so incredibly chashuv. Let me tell you a story. I'll tell you a story that happened to me a few years ago. My son was born, and I ended up in the hospital in Shari Tzedek. And came a doctor to check on my son, and I knew that doctor. And I'll tell you how I knew this doctor. This doctor, I met, he's a Russian doctor. I met him, he was a shomer at a lulav sale a few years back. Okay? Now, you guys weren't here about 2 years ago. Our shomerim downstairs were like the most distinguished shomerim like in all of Israel. We had one Russian guy who had a PhD in geophysics. We had one guy who was an MD. One guy who was finishing his MA in chemical engineering. It was ridiculous. What happens is these Russian guys are like big geniuses. They come to Israel, they're nobody's here. So until they can finish up their education here, they have to be like shomrim. They're managed like lowest level job. So this guy knew me a little bit. I met him at a lulavsi. He was working as a shomer at a lulavsi in banking government. Right. So we start talking a little bit. He says, "I'm about to take my test for my MD in order to be a doctor in Israel. Give me a bracha." I said, "Did you give me a bracha? Did you give me a bracha?" He says, "Because you're a tzaddik." I said, "I'm going to bite the gun, okay? So look around. So what he said, he says, no. I want a bracha from a tzaddik. I want a bracha from you. So I said, "Look, you know, the Gemara says the bracha of a simple person is very, very important. So I'll give you a bracha of a simple person. I'll give you a bracha." So he calls me up a few weeks later, and he says, "Thank you so much. I passed the test. Thank you for your bracha." I said, "Okay." I said, "Great." He didn't think about it after that. So I'm in the hospital. He comes to the doctor. Now he's a doctor at Shari Tzedek. So he looks at my son. He says, "Baruch Hashem, everything's fine." He says, "I just want to thank you again. Thank you for your bracha." Now, it was a time in my life where it was a tremendous amount of struggle. It was a tremendous amount of questioning myself, what I should be doing, should I be going to chinuch, do I have anything to give? At that moment, as he told me, you know, thank you for the bracha, it made all the difference. It allowed me to see something within myself that before I could not. And that was a big factor in my decision that eventually led me to where I am today. Because I realized at that point that individual was able to see something within me that I myself was not able to see. So just another story. When we were coming from Soviet Union. We come from Soviet Union on a train. So we had to go to Austria and then we went to Italy. So we took a train from Austria to Italy. And there was a terrorist attack which messed up all the train schedule. It was Friday, it was right before Shabbos. So we grabbed our bags, we quickly got into a cab, and we went to a hotel. You have to understand, we're three suitcases and $390 in a totally foreign country. That's all they let us take out. We had a lot of money, relatively speaking. They allowed us to take $130 per person. And even though it was 20 years ago, $130 was not all that much. So, you know, there's this terrorist attack, and then we get to the hotel, we're finished. So we're getting ready for Shabbos, and we're just pulling together the last things. It's a knock on the door. My father opened up the door. There's a guy standing there. This guy is Russia Murusha. This guy would cheat his own mother. He was the most horrible, but no one wanted anything to do with this guy. He was a horrible person. So he says to my father, he says, "You know, I'm staying in this hotel because all these people from the train got to the hotel. So some people were able to get their bags, some people weren't able to get their bags." He says, "There's a woman who's next door to me. She's screaming, and this old woman, she's screaming and crying, this Russian woman. My candles, what happened to my candles?" So I knew you were religious and crazy. So do you know what the heck she's talking about? My father said, "Oh my gosh," you're looking at the clock, 5 minutes of the Shabbos. So my father grabs candles and he runs to this, you know, down the stairs of the hotel, up the stairs, you know, knocks on the door, it's very famous before Shabbos. So he opens the door and there's this old lady sobbing. So my father says, here are the candles. So she can't believe, she puts up the candles, makes a bracha, lights the candles. She says to my father, "You should know. 60 years under the communists, there was not one Friday night that didn't light Shabbos candles. And here I am, one of my first Shabbos in freedom, finally able to be free and keep Shabbos normally, I didn't get my candles. Thank you so much." So my father goes downstairs, and this Russian Marusha is still standing there. My father says to him, "Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are?" And this Russia already, he's had a lot of experience with people. He's had a lot of abuse already. So he kind of takes a step back and says, "Who am I?" He says, "You're a tzaddik." And my father said, at that moment, he looked him in the eyes, and this guy had tears in his eyes. He said, "You should know something," this guy said. "Not one person in my life ever has ever called me that." And he turned around and he walked away. It's an incredible thing. At that second, my father showed him something this guy had never seen before. Because he's in whatever he looked in the mirror, he saw Russia Marusha. That's who he was in his own eyes. And so he lived up to the script beautifully. And for one second, he realized, hey, you know, maybe I'm something better. Maybe I'm something better. Maybe it could be something better. For a second, I have no idea what happened to that guy. And that's exactly why, Rabbi Yossi, we don't say Yom Chayitz and Rosh Hashanah, because our job is to see what's our goal, what's our task in helping HaKadosh Baruch Hu out. And in order for that to happen, Rabbi Yossi, you have to see the good you, the real you. There's no more chayit. Chataim are external to us. It's not who we really are. It's like the Gemara says in Masechet Brachos. We want to do Ratzon Hashem. So what stops us? Yetzer Hara. It's not who we are. It's something external to us. So in Rosh Hashanah, we have to recognize who we really are. And who we really are. We're really tzaddikim. And everything is that we do that's wrong is because it's external. So the Rebbe said, you know, a person falls into the mud and forgets to wash himself off. So this mud kicks on. He comes up to the mirror and says, Shalom Aleichem. He thinks that's who he is. But it's mud. It's not who he is. In order to do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, you're not supposed to talk about all chaytz. Chaytz are before, chaytz are after. There's plenty of time to do chaytz, to do kapara for the chaytz, to do misvada the chaytz. But Rosh Hashanah is not about that at all, Rabbi Yossi. And if you think that Rosh Hashanah is about all chaytz, you're missing the point. And if you look at the tefillah, it has nothing to do with that. What do we talk? We talk about malchus. We talk about zichronos. You know what focuses zichronos? You remember Adam Harishon. You know Adam Harishon? He's perfect. No chaytz. You know the incredible care of Elohim he had? Remember the moment of our birth. You know the Sefer Achinu says, you know why we go to the mikra? To retire ourselves. Because it's like going back to the beginning. Achinu says everything became, the world began with water. A person in the womb is in water. You go to the mikra, you go to the very beginning, to the, who the person really is. So Rosh Hashanah, we say Zichronos to no chayt. There's plenty of chayt before and after. The point of Rosh Hashanah is to recognize the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the godless that we have, we discover that spiritual relationship that we have with Hashem and who the spiritual us really is. And show for us, remember Har Sinai. You know how great we were in Har Sinai? Every person in his own individual Kabbalah Sator, it's so amazing, it's so incredible. So the purpose of Rosh Hashanah Rabbi Yossi has nothing to do with chayt. It's recognizing who we are. Says Rav Volbin Ali Shor, there's only one thing worse than gaiva. One thing. And gaiva is very bad. And what's worse than gaiva, Rav Volbin Ali says, is when a person doesn't see. Gaiva is when a person sees things that he doesn't have. Says Rav Volbin, what's worse than that is to not see things that we do have. For Shoshana is to recognize the godless. You know the famous story about the Netziv. I'll repeat it again. I would imagine most of you guys know it. The Netziv, when he... And later in his life, he threw a big party. He had one of his siyum meeting. He threw a big party. And he says, Rabbi, let me tell you a story. When I was a kid, I was into serious learning. And my parents were most of an effort that I should go learn. And one day I woke up, and I was listening to the conversation. My parents were in the kitchen. They were crying. All this serious nefesh that they had was going to waste. I said, you know, maybe we should send our son to become a carpenter. A carpenter. So I said to myself, Dad, it won't happen. Will not happen. From then on, I worked hard and became a masterman. And I became who I came. He says, imagine for a second, I would have just gone back to sleep. And the next day, my parents said, son, you're not going to cheder tomorrow. You're going to become an apprentice to a carpenter. And I would have become a carpenter. I would have been a good carpenter. I would have been an honest carpenter. I would have learned at nights. I would have been a very, very good person. And after Meir, I would have gone to Olam Haba. And I would come to Olam Haba. And then when you greet Olam Haba, they say, Rabbeinu, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda. And I would say, you're talking to me? I don't see no one else. You must be talking to me. And he said, yeah, to you. He says, Rabbeinu, I'm not Rabbeinu. I'm a carpenter. And he said, oh, Rabbeinu Rav Tzvi Yehuda, you probably brought your Hemek Dovar, your Perush and Chumash. Perush and Chumash. I mean, I know how to read Chumash. I know how to read Rashi. Pirush you're talking about. Rabbeinu told to Yehuda, you probably brought your Pirush of the Shiltas. Shiltas. I never opened up Shiltas in my life. Maybe you brought your Shalos and Shuvas. You got the wrong guy. So he said, who is the real Naftali Tzvi Yehuda? And it took that one moment when he was a kid to figure out who he was. And that's exactly what's going on with Rabbo said. The Din Olam Haba is to for us to recognize who we really are and make that commitment, that decision to live up to it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives all the kelim that we need to live up. That's Rosh Hashanah, Rabbo said. Rosh Hashanah is to see the godliness of ourselves, see the godliness of life. I was just talking to Michael today. You know, I'll tell you honestly. Maybe I shouldn't tell you, but I'll tell you. I have a Facebook page. Nothing exciting. Right? The number of cheshbonos I have, why I did it, one of them was, I wanted to know what you guys are crazy about. Okay, I wanted to know, what do the people spend hours and hours and hours, what's the show? So I have friends, right? That itself was a big joke. So my friends. So obviously, anytime a friend changes anything, it like shows up on the wall, right? So it's an incredible thing. I look at my friends, and you know, profile changed an hour ago. Profile changed 30 minutes ago. Okay, no, it happens. Okay. The next day, the same friend. Profile changed 20 minutes ago. It's an incredible thing. They're changing their profile every 20 and 30 minutes. Yes, and maybe like they put something profound on the wall finally on their profile, or you know, there's something that feeling bored. I've realized the price of gas is just out of hand. You do this every 30 minutes? What do you think life is all about? It was that's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is trying to figure out what is really important to me and what is not. You have to be clear. This is Olam Haba. A person decides what's my goal in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu figures out the king. So we've answered the question, what's the din? The din, Rabosa, is to figure out what is it that we want to accomplish? What gdud, what battalion are we going to join? And then we're giving the kelim based on that, which was giving us whatever kashmis we need to fill that task. Why we don't say al-chait? Because the point is not about chait. The point is to see the godless of ourselves, to see what we could be. We could just want, we could just commit what we could be. That's why we say Malchus Zichronos V'Shochus, because we focus on the Malchus of Hashem, we focus on our godless Zichronos, remembering creation of Adam Rishna, how good we were back then. Mamad Har Sinai. And you know why there's Simcha, Rabbi Yosef? Because you see, you know, Simcha says the Maharal. What's the difference between Simcha and pleasure? Simcha is not pleasure, two different words. Pleasure is you have a certain need, and you fulfill the need. I really want that hamburger. Oh man, you look at it now. I'll tell you a story. I was once, when I was in YU, I went to a rally to Washington, D.C. The only time I went to Washington, I went to a rally to support the state of all of YU picked up when it was beautiful. So much college strong, all different sorts came together. The actors was beautiful. Haredim, not Haredim, Kalim, those people, it's incredible. So I went to Washington, D.C. It was a long trip, right? So we're driving back. And they said on the bus, they're going to give us sandwiches. It's been a hard day. I'm really hungry. Think about the sandwich. It's going to be a deli sandwich. Ah, a deli sandwich is very good. So I'm thinking about this deli sandwich. I'm thinking about the deli sandwich. We're driving, we're not stopping. Where's my deli sandwich? I better get it. I'm hungry. I'm thinking of driving, no deli sandwiches. If I don't get my deli sandwich right now, I'm going to kill someone. So this bus stops, deli sandwiches. Okay, doors open. I'm walking to get my deli sandwich. I think to myself, you know, that year we were learning with Masechta Shabbos. And the discussion in the Gemara, what kind of knots are usur, what kind of knots are mutar Shabbos. So there's a knot called a camel knot. So what's a camel knot? A camel knot, you take a camel, you poke a hole through his nose, and you put a rope, but you have to tie something, you have to put a special camel knot. And you drag this behemoth, and it goes wherever you want to go. Second person, it's an incredible thing. You know, for a slab of meat or a piece of bread, give me my meat, okay? So that's taiva. That's taiva. Taiva means I lack something, give it to me. That's not simcha. And when I ate the sandwich, I got hana, but that hana is not simcha. A drug user, he gets a tremendous amount of hana, he doesn't get any simcha. The difference in simcha and hana is you feel you lack something, you want it, you get it. Simcha means you feel that hana that I'm getting, this is what I'm living for. There's a certain shleimus. Maharal says that the word we associate with simcha is shleimus. When a person gets married, when a person holds their child in their hand for the first time, that's simcha. It's shleimus. It's shleimus. You feel, this is what I live for. When a person accomplishes a chesed, Because it's shleimus. Because you realize this is not just fulfilling some desire. There's meaning here. Hana doesn't have too much meaning in the grand scheme of things. So that's why there has to be a simcha on Rosh Hashanah. And mostly because we recognize this moment of our year when we decide about our own destiny. We decide to partner up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ultimate shleimus. That's the ultimate simcha. And it's a joy because you see, I don't know if anyone here has ever served the queen. I haven't. When you're with the queen and you want to pour her tea, now you will realize the awe of the queen. But you can't, as you pour the tea, you can't have your hand tremble because she's so incredibly awesome. It has to be done with simcha. You realize you're a good company over here. So in Rosh Hashanah, there is a pacha, there is an ema, a yira, but there's also a simcha. Because if you recognize, this is exactly where we want to be. You know what the feeling that you have when you get nervous from your experiences? It's the most incredible feeling of, this is exactly where I want to be right now. It's very rare that we feel that. Because very often in life we're moving somewhere. I'm working so I can get money. I want to get money so I can do this. I'm working so I could retire. All the time we're moving somewhere. You know what simcha is? Simcha means I don't have to go anywhere. I'm exactly where I want to be. And that's why the Rosh Hashanah requires simcha. Just to tie it all up, and we'll finish right over here. So why is it? What's the din all about? The din is we're being judged. We make a decision of what is our chelik and ruchnis. What is it that we want to accomplish this year? And HaKadosh Baruch says to us, okay, that's your chelik, and therefore, that's your chelik olam haba in ruchnius, therefore I'm going to give you chelik olam hazeh, based on what you decide. The reason why we don't mention yichel, because we have to see the tremendous godliness that we have, the incredible things we're able to accomplish. When we dream, you got to dream big. Why we say malchus zichron shoshov? Because these brachas reflect the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his greatness and our potential greatness, and the reason why we have to have simcha, we can't fast, because we have to understand that this decision, all of our shleimus lies in this decision. Shleimus is always associated with simcha. So that's Hashem. Have a Rosh Hashanah. That's meaningful. And we're able to make the right decisions and the right commitments. Thank you so much for coming.